But I do believe we're in a world that people try to live and try to go through and try to say, you know, the way they're living, the way we're living, I got to have more. I got to have more than what this world can offer. Got to have more than what I have, what we have. And I'm going to talk to you today about four people, and it probably is just going to be a Bible study today or whatever. But there are so many times in today's world that people are crying out, they got to have more. I know I cry out. You know, I need more. I need more than what I have. I mean, I need more than what I see going on. I work for a hospice program. I'm the chaplain. I need more. There's so much more that needs to be done in our program. I've been called the spiritual chaplain, and I'm okay with that because I have another chaplain on board that he said, Jerry, if there's something spiritual, we're going to send them to you. And I understand that. He acknowledges that. He says, I am of the other category where I'll handle some of the other issues, you know, that are not so spiritual. So I kind of looked at him and said, and you pastor a church? You know, but he's a good guy. I think that with time, maybe we can talk enough to help him build his spiritual. He's gone through a lot. He was a missionary's son, child, South America, and that's pretty hard. Those kids, they go through a lot, and it's pretty rough on them. They're a lot stricter. So I'm praying for them. Let me give you four people today. Four people, but I want you to turn with me to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, or 1 through 8. Saint John, not First John. Saint John. The very first person that I want you to meet, and that Jesus was able to meet the deeper needs of their heart and their soul, the very first person we're going to talk about is Nicodemus. We all understand the story of Nicodemus, and I'll read these verses to you first. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This wasn't just a normal man. This was a man of high authority, a religious leader. Okay? This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. What a statement. Here is a religious leader that knew the law, knew the religious sites and everything, but here he made a comment to Jesus that he understood Jesus as being even higher than him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, I believe in his perplexed thought pattern, said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now let me take you into understanding that a little more. Let's get a picture of Nicodemus. Okay? We have to give a proper perspective of him today. First of all, we have to understand that Nicodemus was a head religious man of his day. He was trained in Scripture. He knew the law inside out and enjoyed great status as one who knew God. But here we see him coming at night for a personal interview with Christ. Now, let me ask a question. Why did Nicodemus come to Jesus at night? Okay, say it louder. He didn't want the religious people, the other Pharisees, the other religious rulers to realize he was going to Jesus because they didn't like Jesus. They wanted to put Jesus under. They didn't want to bring him up.
And they were jealous of him.
And they were definitely, there you go, they were jealous of Jesus. So Nicodemus said, well, you know what, if I go during the day, they're going to all see me as going to Jesus. And they're going to all start talking about me. And I sure don't want them to talk about me. Okay? But he did care. That was the big problem. He cared what other people thought. So in turn, he said, well, I'll do it secretly. And what did Jesus say? He asked Jesus this question. I've got to have more than religion. He realized he needed more than what religion could give him. Today, we need to know more than what religion can give us. That's what this is all about. Please ask questions. Okay, good. Okay, good. Good question. Let's
I was a baby when I was baptized the first time.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Baptism. What do you feel baptism represents? Yes?
Because I was told that if you were not baptized, then you're not entering the kingdom of heaven.
Okay. Okay.
He possessed you while you're not being baptized.
Okay.
That's how I was told as a child.
As a child. Patricia, that is a very valid question that is asked by so many people of the same kind. Let me give you an example. In my dealing with my hospice program, I dealt with a patient that her son had a friend that was going to a church that the church told the son's friend that you had to be baptized. And if you weren't baptized, you would never see your family that's already gone to heaven. Okay? And the son asked the question to the mom that asked the question to me, Jerry, what do you think of that? Is that true? Here he's putting condemnation on this poor kid and threatening him that he had to be baptized or he's never going to see his family that's already gone to heaven. And what had happened was his mom had died about a month prior to that. So this put a very bad taste in his mouth. He felt he had to. He was forced into baptism without knowing the Lord as his personal Savior.
Today.
After you're baptized.
That he had to get down from the
no.
cross and get baptized.
No.
So he said today. You will be
now,
with me in paradise.
The prerequisite, the only prerequisite to salvation is to be born again of the Spirit. Exactly what Jesus was saying. You know, to be born of the water, which is mean to be naturally birthed, you'll be that. But to be born of the Spirit was completely different. That means you must be born again. Now, there's two births. Okay? Two births. The very first birth is your natural birth. Right? What are you encased in when you are born? Water. Right? What does a lady do when she's about ready to give birth? The water breaks. Okay? As that water breaks, the baby is formulating and coming out. born of the water, first birth, born of the water. That is the natural birth. Now, when Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again, what he was saying there, what is born of the water, the natural birth, is the water. And that natural birth is fine, but it has not recognized or realized the spiritual birth until they are renewed by Christ. Until they accept. That's why Jesus was saying, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. Okay? The natural birth is what all of us experience. But there is no spiritual birth until they are regenerated by saying of the mouth, by confessing the Lord, by saying, Lord, forgive me. For understand this, from Adam and Eve until today, sin has been upon this earth. And we are born of that sin. Now, I get these pictures of people saying, well, what about babies, blah, blah, blah. I believe there's a consummation time when people, you know, understand right from wrong. Okay? And I don't know the date, time, or whatever on that one. But when we as children or adolescents can figure out right from wrong, that's the time we need to understand we need that spiritual birth. Okay? And when we receive and accept the spiritual birth, that's accepting Christ into our heart, accepting his life in us, then our body is what it says, born anew. Okay, that's born again. That's spiritual birth. Okay, when the spiritual birth takes place, what does Christ say, you know, babes in Christ? He understood the natural birth and the progression of a natural baby. When a natural baby is born, it is totally reliant upon the mother and the father, right? All of its food, its intake, blah, blah, is presented there. I believe the same thing happens in that spiritual birth, and we are a baby in Christ. Jesus and the Holy Spirit covers us, gives us, you know something? When I first got saved, things happened I could never even imagine today. How in the world did all that happen? Huh? Some of you, I mean, all of you have experienced the exact same thing. When you got saved, all of us, things happened just so naturally. I would pray and it happened. I was over in Puerto Rico, prayed to come to California. I prayed and God gave it. Everybody in my whole platoon was saying, oh, who are you kissing up to? You know, actually, I told them, I'm kissing up to Jesus. You know, I knew where my strength came from. I knew. But as I grew older, I was no longer required to just take that milk. I needed meat. And God started withholding certain things to help me grow spiritually. So as a babe in Christ, he does things differently than as we grow up. He doesn't want you to stay a baby in Christ. Have you ever seen a 5-year-old or 6-year-old kid with a pacifier in his mouth? But you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever fed a baby milk until he's 7 or 8 or 9 years old and never gave him any meat? That poor baby, nutritional-wise, would be devastated, malnutritioned. So that's the same thing with God. God wants us. Thank you. I mean, I might never get this message over with, but that's what God wants you. Yes, Tim.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster.
Let's understand baptismal. Baptism. Now here it is. Very simple. Baptism is an outward expression of your love for Jesus from an inward experience that you have received. Like I was telling that boy, and I told him, I told that mom, I said, tell your son this, that if that boy doesn't have that inward feeling, if he doesn't have the born-again experience, the love of Christ in his heart, then going out there and being baptized is no more than being dunked in water and coming out the same as you went under.
Yes.
Now, let me also say this, because I've done this. Can you be baptized more than once? Let me ask that. Good, thank you. I've been baptized a couple. I mean, my kids have been baptized a couple of times. You know, There's nothing wrong in that, because let's go back into that scenario. I'll get with you. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward
experience.
Okay? Every time we had summer camp, I baptized the same people for 3 years, because they had a whole year to have problems in their life. They come to summer camp and get a glorious rebirth in their life. They come to know the Lord again, and they get baptized again. Do I stop and say, no, you were baptized last year, you can't do that? No, because again, it's an outward expression to everyone around you. That's why I like doing baptisms in the river or somewhere where it's public. I don't believe parents, again, let's go back to that scenario. If that child doesn't truly understand or know,
or is not
just like that boy that was at that got baptized because he was in fear that he would never see his family, that baptism meant nothing. Agreed? He's baptized because he has a fear that he won't see his family instead of having a love for Jesus. Now, there's what makes the difference. If that pastor would have done it the right way, he said, let's pray and ask God into your heart. Zap. And if he really prayed and really accepted him as his personal Savior, then that baptism would have meant something to him. Not fear, but love. His fear was that he would not see his family. It should have been his love for the loving Savior that saved him from the wretched, sinning life that he was in. That's the difference. Good. Good. Yes. We're gonna do a Saturday night, Saturday time where we'll go to either Pyramid Lake or up to the, probably lake. I don't like marina or something. We'll figure it out, and have a baptismal service. And, you know, maybe have a barbecue that night, but have a baptismal service. I like that. Yes, we'll do it before the weather. I will tell you this. I did do a baptismal service at the lake in November. It was cold. Yeah. I had a family that said, Jerry, I really need it. I want this. Can we do it? And I said, do you really want to go to the lake this time of the year? And I was trying to convince them not to, but they wanted to. We went to the lake. We had some music. They brought a guitar with them. We had some music. We went out there, baptized. I was frozen afterward, but I was gloriously happy for them. And so, baptism. Do this in remembrance of me. Why did I bring out the bread? And remembering exactly. It's not just a little. People get communion today has become such a ritual that it means nothing. They take that bread and that's all it is a piece of wafer. And that's all they're taking is a piece of wafer. With no understanding of what Christ went through. See, that's what he was telling his disciples. You might not understand this now, but you will. But you will remember. You will remember after the fact of what I will go through today and tonight and tomorrow. That's what he was saying. The same way with the wine that they took at that time. You might not understand this now. It might just be just a drink to you, but you will remember. You will remember when you see what I go through. When you see the last blood from my body that flows down, you will remember. And I hope that you will do this. Disciples, why would they go through that? Go through the horrible deaths that they went through. Do you know they were 11 out of the 12 disciples were martyred. There was only one disciple that was not martyred, and that was John, that wrote the book of Revelations. Wrote 1 John, wrote the book of John. See, he was the only one that was not martyred, but he went through a lot of torture. In fact, they tried to kill him. They left him for dead once, and he came back to life. You know, because the good Lord had more work for him. See, and I say it this way, when it's your time, and God decides it's your time, he'll take you. When it's not your time, no matter what the world might try to put on you and try to say that you are, and that's what I tell all my people in hospice. I said, Because they do ask, why am I still here? And then you say, honey, I don't know why you're still here. I just know when the good Lord wants to take you, you'll go home. Three score and ten, I believe, is what it says. That's a promise to us as Christians. That's he can give. It's hard to say. I'm not going to answer that because I don't know. Judas Iscariot killed himself. Hung himself on a tree.
11.
What?
You said 11.
There was 12 disciples altogether. Because after Judas passed, after Judas killed himself, the disciples got together in the upper room. And during the time between that and when the day of Pentecost came, they chose another disciple. So it brought it back to 12. Okay. Okay, let me go on. I want to finish up Nicodemus, and then we'll be done, and I'll do the next three next week. But today, you may be here, been to church all your life, and need to have a personal interview with Christ. Religion doesn't satisfy because it may give you a great standing with others, but not a true standing with God. Nicodemus realized his position with men didn't matter anymore. He wanted his position with God to really matter. Today, everyone may say you're a great Christian, but like Nicodemus, your standing with God isn't right. Then, wherever you are standing is wrong. If your standing with God is not right, wherever you're standing is wrong. Religion doesn't satisfy because knowing things in your head isn't like feeling things in your heart. For Nicodemus, it had all been stale. He was tired of getting up in the morning, putting on his robe, and being a somebody in the religious circles, but feeling empty inside. Jesus gives him more. Jesus gives Nicodemus what he needed, a new life, a new birth, a new beginning. Jesus gave him spirit, not flesh. Jesus gave him something that would satisfy the soul. Jesus gave him true salvation, which was the good news. In the middle of the night, Nicodemus found the light of the world. Do you understand? That's what God wants to do. And it's going to get to the point where we cry out and say, I need more. I need more. And him coming by night, if that's what it takes, if you're afraid to come in the daytime, if you are apprehensive of your religious standards or whatever, then you come to Jesus whatever it takes, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
In fact, most people don't even give their heart to God in the church. They do it in their home.
I did it in mine. I went to church for Sunday with Sharon. I was going because of her. I wasn't going because of God. You know? But God saw fit that through this young, beautiful lady there that I come to know the Lord as my personal Savior. Do you understand? Many times it's you. It's not others. It's your witness and your ability. I saw something in her that I didn't have. I saw something in her that I wanted. Do you understand that's what the world is doing? You're the living example of Christ. You're the living word of Christ flows in you. It's not how much you quote this word. It's not how much you say. It's how much you live. It's how much you live for him. She lived the light. That in turn, I would go to church every Sunday with her. Woohoo! I'd feel good. I'd walk out that door and be the same old guy. Until I finally got to the point where I say, I want more. On a Sunday night, I felt I needed more. And the good Lord came and said, Jerry, I'll give you more. And he sure did. He gave me more. And I have walked in that. I'm not going to tell you it's been easy. Boy, if I had, you know, our Christian walk is not the easiest walk, but it's the greatest walk because I have eternity to look forward to. You know, I have that hope. I have that hope. And I look at Nicodemus. He found that hope. He found that hope at night. In the darkness of night, he found the light of day. He found the light of day. And that's exactly what we can do. Next week, if you want, you can go into John 4, verses 5 through 10. We're going to talk about the Samaritan woman and what she found in God.